This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reiberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, welcome and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, Medical Intuitive Carol Reiberger. And today is one of my favorite shows, comes up the end of every month. I can't believe how quickly months go by, or the days of the month go by to hit this end of the month show. But it's a Conversations with Carol show. So what that means is that I really don't have any topics other than I always like to do that energy update. So you can have a sense of where the energy is and both at universal level and our group consciousness and about the tension between the two, because it's always there. So I like to do that, but really what it's all about you. It's all about the calls and answering your questions. So if you have a question for me about either this crazy energy that I'm going to be talking about, this is like a, oh my gosh, buckle up and hang on energy. We can talk about that, or you can talk about your health, or we can talk about your love life or relationships or lack of love life, anything that you have interest in. I would love to share my intuitive skills with you. So you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S. and Canadian callers, and then also international callers. I do get callers from Singapore and Brazil and all over the world. So if you are an international caller, please enter your international calling code, and then 877-230-3062. Also, I wanted to let you know I've got lots of great things coming up the end of this year, both in November and December, and then I'm going to be launching a whole bunch of new things, new classes, new webinars, new opportunities, new a brand new jewelry line. You know, I started collecting beads about 4 years ago, and after all those years of collecting, I decided that, you know, it's probably about time I start doing something with those beads. And so I actually started a jewelry line called Soulful Connection Bracelets. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit in the second segment. And then I've got another new line that's going to be launching in November called You Be Charming. And it's all exquisite charm bracelets and other jewelry using charms. So anyway, if you're not in my database, I encourage you to go in so you can receive my mailings of all the different events that I have coming up. And one of the things I'm going to be doing in December is I'm going to be offering a holiday special on my December readings. Also, I'm going to be offering a drawing for a free Soulful Connection bracelet. Got lots of new products, as I said, with the UB Charming line that's going to be coming online. And then also I'm going to be launching some vibe update mailings. I thought since I do this on a monthly basis with my show, gosh, maybe I should do this to the entire database. So I've got that coming down the line. Free PDFs, also free psycholumetry meditations and guided imagery that's coming down the line. And then also PDFs and a launch of a lot of new products and books that are going to be launched as well. So again, if you're not in my database, just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. If you go to my homepage and then you scroll down on the homepage, on the lower part of the homepage, on the left-hand side, you will see a Contact Carol button. And just contact me. You'll automatically go into the database. And then you can start receiving information on all the wonderful events that I'm going to have happening in 2014 and then also in November, December. 2014 is the year of healing on a higher level. So I'm going to be bringing in guests that are really talking about the energetic aspect of healing and what we can do both energetically and then psychologically as well as physically to get our body back to where we really would like it to be. You know, it's so susceptible to, of course, the stress. That's a very obvious thing. We know a lot about that. But also, it's very susceptible to the energy that, honestly, we don't have any control over. And if we tend to be those empathic, energetic Velcro bodies that I refer to, then what happens is we really get a lot of imbalance because of the fact of all the energetic changes. So, again, I encourage you to get my database. Just go to www.ritberger.com and then just the contact Carol and then voila, you're in the database. Oh my gosh. You know, I've been working on getting this jewelry line and getting things going. And, then with my Soulful Connection bracelets, I'm so excited because they've really been taking off. But it's like all of a sudden, it's like the holidays are coming upon us very, very quickly. So if you would like a gift for yourself or you'd like a gift for a loved one or friend that you have a soulful connection with, I encourage you to go to my website, ritberger.com or ritberger.com, the way it's actually spelled, and look at them, check out the Soulful Connection bracelets. We have 18 colors that are available. I'm also launching another color that I'll be sending out in the next couple weeks to let you know about this new Soulful Connection bracelet. The bracelets themselves deepen your connection with your soul and then also deepen your connection with the people that you have that soulful connection with. So again, please check out my website, www.ritberger.com. Well, I had an event the other night called Evening of Readings with Carol, and that was actually on the 18th of October, and we were kind of at that tipping point energetically for the month of October. It was like the month of August and September, the first part of October, was like we were on this great roller coaster, and we were climbing up and climbing up and climbing up and climbing up, and then the 18th of October, all of a sudden, it's like we fell over on the other side. And I could feel myself and a lot of people in the room when I was doing my event. And then also energetically, there's this big scream in the field right now. It's like, oh, my gosh, what is going on? We're dropping very quickly. What does this mean? Well, what we're really doing is we've been on this climb of getting in touch with our higher self through the first part of 2013 and then also in July, August, and September. And then what we did is in October, we started reaching that top part of who we are, connecting with the seventh chakra, our spiritual nature. And then when we dropped back down on the actual 18th of October, then what we did is we started dropping back down into the first chakra. So what we're being asked to do is we're being asked to take what we know about in our higher self, that inner wisdom that we have, the way that we look at ourselves and we look at our lives from the perspective of our soul, and take that and then bring that down into that first chakra. That first chakra is literally our human survival chakra. It's where we find human ego. It's where we have a fear of round survival. We have fear of unknown. There's a lot of insecurities that come up with that first chakra. We want to belong. The holidays are coming, so we have events with our family, or maybe we don't. We're all alone. So that first chakra really struggles at the holiday times in trying to give us that sense of balance. We don't know what the future is going to hold in 2014. There's so much financial stress in people's lives, even loss of jobs. So again, that first chakra has just really been out of sorts with itself, and we've been struggling very, very much to try to get ourselves back into a groundedness where we feel like we can, you know, face this physical reality and all the obstacles that it presents us. Well, by touching our higher self of the seventh chakra and dropping that energy down into our first chakra, it changes the way we see belonging. It changes the way that we see survival. It changes the way that we interact with the human ego. And it really softens that first chakra. And the first chakra is red in color, but because of the dynamics of the energy of 2013 and where it is, the first chakra is actually a magenta. And what that means is we've got that seventh chakra of purple filtering into that red of the first chakra, and we're beginning to seek a sense of balance between our spiritual nature and our physical nature, between our outer world and our inner world, between that acquired knowledge, between that inner wisdom we have. And so November is going to be a month, of really allowing belonging to both worlds comfortably and allowing ourselves to heal a lot of the angst and the anxiety that we've had in that first chakra. So really it's a tension between the first and the seventh chakra. And if we allow that ebb and flow that is one of the laws of the universe, is that everything has a flow, a rhythm to it. Everything has an ebb and has a flow, and we allow that to happen. Then we can be spiritual beings having a physical experience instead of always feeling like we're physical, seeking that spiritual experience and a little bit at odds with ourselves. So that's just kind of, I'm going to talk about the energy a lot more when I get into the second segment. But what I'd like to do now is I'd like to go in and let's go ahead and start taking calls, because after all, it is a Conversations with Carol show. So let's take Shirley from Minneapolis, line three. Hi, sweet. How are you?
Hello, Carol. This is Shirley.
Hi, hon. I thought your energy felt familiar.
Pardon?
Your energy felt familiar.
Yes, we have met when you were here in Minneapolis for one of your workshops.
Oh, very good, very good. Nice. So how can I help you?
Well, I'm concerned about weight loss that my husband has experienced over this past year, 10 pounds, and he, the past 45 years prior to that, he was steady, about the same weight. So it's just this past year, he has become noticeably thinner, and he... of course, I'm encouraging him to go in to be checked out, but he turned 65 in January, and he wants to wait until he has better insurance coverage, because now he has a very high deductible and knows that there may be tests involved.
Correct.
And so I'm just wondering,
is it something you have to jump on right now?
I'm wondering if this is something that can wait, He feels good. He looks fine. He's active. He has energy. He takes his naps, but he just left to go golfing right now. It's just that it's unusual for him to have lost this much weight in a relatively short length of time. So he has started taking some nutritional supplements over this past 6 months, I would say, especially that he hadn't been taken before. I don't know if that would be a possibility for causing any of the weight loss.
Yeah.
But it's just a concern.
Right, right.
He has admitted also that he's starting to wonder what's going on, too.
Right. So the first thing is that the fact that it's been over the course of the year and not just within the last couple of months, the concern would be less than if you had said to me that he had dropped it in the last couple months.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So the first thing is that honestly, I'm not picking up that we have to go in and do everything right now.
All right.
So he could wait until January till he gets on Medicare. The only thing is that we don't want him to wait beyond that. We want him to kind of get his ducks in a row, figure everything out, and then get in there in January. The thing that I'm picking up with this is that we've got a couple of things is that he does feel very healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I am picking up his skin color is good. I'm not getting any kind of sallowness or yellowness to it.
Right.
When I go in and I look in his mouth, his gums are still nice and pink. So that lets me know that we don't have any kind of an intestinal disorder that's going on that could be affecting the gums, or a stomach disorder that's going on. So, I'm picking up that what we have is we have something that certainly needs to be checked out, but not something of great alarm.
Because of his
energy. But what I am picking up is, and this actually, I started picking it up probably about late June, early July, so I'm going to have to ask some questions because it involves the immune system.
Oh, sure.
Did he get sick or did he have allergies worse in the spring? Was there something that was different in June and July with him and his immune system or stamina, stomach issues?
He does have allergies, and so he's sensitive to seasonal allergies and also certain things like cats and dust.
Right.
But also he was complaining about, and he's had digestive issues too, But he did start taking a probiotic that has really helped his digestion in the last couple of months.
Yep.
I don't remember anything specifically June, July.
Tired?
Maybe so.
Okay, okay. And the reason I'm asking all of that is it feels to me that this actually, his thyroid has been actually increasing and decreasing. So when I touch his thyroid, I'm getting some hyperthyroidism, meaning that it seems to run very, very fast, and then I'm getting a hypothyroidism, but it feels like it's tied to the immune system. I think what he's got going on is he's got a thyroid imbalance that's going on, and that will cause him to lose weight. It can also cause, because it's tied to the immune system, the way that it feels, it could cause his allergies to become worse. The thyroid is metabolism. It also has to do with sleep. That's why I picked up that he felt a little bit more tired than he normally does.
Yeah.
Felt a difference in his sleep change, sleep change that was coming on. So what I think that we've got going on is we've got, and it does have to do with aging when the thyroid starts trying to figure it out. But it actually feels like we've got something with the immune system that is affecting his thyroid. So one of the things to do is that to go in and have a good full blood panel the first of the year to get to know. And then also to have the thyroid check to find out where he is within the range. It may very well be that he's either low or even feels like he might be off of the range from thyroid. And so then the doctor will maybe want to take a wait and see or even consider putting him on a thyroid medication. Something he could do now, if you have a naturopath that you work with, is he could go in and talk to a naturopath and see if there's something naturally that he could start taking for thyroid. And that may even take care of the problem because it's not severe. The immune system isn't actually all out attacking the thyroid. So there's something that he may be able to do to put that balance back into it that'll give him that extra oomph and help the thyroid at this point in time till he can get in and talk to a doctor.
Oh, that sounds sounds like wonderful advice and very reassuring too.
Yes. Well, absolutely. You know, you get the combination of age and the vitality and, you know, something like this. And like you say, if they've been steady for a long, long time, then
I've just lost a brother recently to pancreatic cancer. And of course he lost a lot of weight during that time. And so
right.
I'm especially sensitive to seeing the change in weight loss.
Right,
and
right.
I think that kind of feeds into it also.
Absolutely.
My concern, but.
Yeah. Well, absolutely, honey. And I mean, it would, especially since, you know, again, he's been very stable and now he's been losing it. But again, it's been a gradual loss instead of a severe loss, meaning, you know, a lot at a short period of time.
Right. It hasn't been real abrupt. It's been over the year. So.
Right. Right. So my sense is that the thyroid has just been kind of chunking along the way that it's been designed to, but it hasn't been quite as efficient as it needs to. So that's what it feels like. And then also I can pick up some hair. His hair texture has changed. He may be shedding a little bit more. I can pick it up in his skin on his arms and on his shins, which are all indicators that we most likely are looking at something that has to do with thyroid. But again, always good to be concerned and then to go and get it checked out.
Yes. Well, it makes me breathe easier and I'm sure it will for him too. Well, thank you, Carol, so much.
You are so welcome, hon. Thank you very much. All right. Let's take Sue from Auburn. Hi, Sue.
Wonderful to talk to you.
Well, nice to talk to you also. How can I help you?
Well, you've read from me before, and I come to your classes down in El Dorado Hills,
behind
of Pat Allen. So my question is euthanasia. I had to do that to my dog a couple of months ago.
Correct.
And, you know, of course I'm feeling guilty, but I don't have an issue in the afterlife or anything like that. What gives us really the right to take an animal's life compared to a human? You know, how did this, you know, I'm saying, like the way I was raised, you know, you don't take a life.
Right.
And I guess as a child, I never separated that to an animal. You know, I just, you know, you don't want to see them suffer, but yet it
right.
is one of the most difficult things in the world to do.
Absolutely. And it is for humans as well when you have, you know, you have to watch them suffer and then they, you know, cry out that they're ready to go. And I mean, I hear all the time people saying, oh my gosh, I think God has forgotten about me. I'm sitting here. I'm laying here. I can't do anything. I'm just ready to go. Why can't I go? So this is, you know, a very controversial, topic from the standpoint of religion and the way that it's seen. But the reality of it is that in the case, let's see, how do I want to? I'm at calling all these celestial helpers in, yours, mine, all my listeners out there. So I want to go in and I want to say something, and it isn't to offend anyone. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is, as we are living longer, as our animals are living longer, then there are ways that we maybe need to rethink this transitional process. To where we don't have to go through the suffering, both human and animals. The thing is that specifically with your animal was reaching a place where the systems were shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
And in that particular case, it would have been and had been a very, very slow death from the standpoint of, the pain, the discomfort, not being able to, you know, even do its daily elimination, a whole bunch of different things there. So from that particular standpoint in our humanness, it is much more humane for us to help them in the process, and they're ready. And, you know, I to go back to your animal, Sue. Your animal, I know you struggled with it, sweetie. We've talked before about it. But I know that your animal let you know that it was time.
Yes, she did.
And when it reach that place, then it was the right thing to do. It was the humane thing to do instead of allowing the suffering and the decay to continue on. We can learn a lot about humanness and our humanness and the aging and that desire and the breakdown and the deterioration and so forth and how we're going to handle the transition. One of the things that is really moving forward in a very positive way, and many healthcare systems are beginning to look at this as palliative medicine. And palliative medicine is really a process of helping people transition in a very humane, loving way. And these, right now, they're using cases that are people that have maybe been in an accident, there's severe brain damage, or someone who has a stage 4 cancer that is going through the decline of the physical body. So I think we're going to hear more about palliative medicine. We're going to hear more about the humane aspect of it. We're going to recognize in some of the models with this particular division of medicine or this area of medicine is that it's a very agreed situation that the person who is in that place gets to a place they're ready to go. And the family in the counseling is also ready for them to go, and it's done in a way that it just makes the transition easier. It doesn't have the suffering. One of the other things, and I work with quite a few doctors in palliative medicine, and one of the things is that the process in which they assist someone in the transition is kind of like when we take a dog in or a cat in, where they give them a shot that basically puts them into a deep theta state, that deep, and then into that delta where it's a sleep state, and then the body can naturally shut down. So I think we're on a new frontier, honey. I know that there's a tremendous amount of controversy between medicine and even religion around this, but I do believe that as we do age longer and the body declines and the soul has reached a place of gathering what it needs to, then I think that we're going to see more in palliative medicine that's going to evolve into helping others assist in a way where they're not so drugged, mm-hmm. that they don't know they're crossing over.
Right.
And that, I guess in me, when I go in and look at it and try to struggle with it in my mind and make sense of it, is that the part that I struggle with is that we use drugs so freely to sedate someone, and I'm going to pick on morphine as a prime example, is that what morphine does is it doesn't really numb the pain. It numbs the body to do what it needs to and to naturally go through the death process. So I think we're going to find with palliative medicine some new medications, some new ways of doing this, and come up with a humane way when somebody literally is ready to go and their family is that we can, and the prognosis is such that there is no turning back. Palliative medicine takes these people where there is no turning back. Chemo can't work. It's just reached a place where it's their time to go and assist them in that. Many of the indigenous people throughout the world listen to the elder when they're ready to go, and then in many cases we'll take that elder out into the forest or, you know, into a place where they're surrounded by nature, they're surrounded by love, and then just allow them to transition because that's what the soul is ready to do. So I think your question is very timely. I think that it's one that each one of us will individually struggle with, but I do know that medicine is grabbing the bull by the horns, realizing that we are living longer, that we are suffering more in living longer, and they're coming up with ways to be able to deal with this.
So we need a transitional change in our consciousness.
We do.
Then of how we go, but the Native Americans, you know, they go so freely. If we've made an agreement to leave or to go, why don't we just go?
Well, I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, honestly, with the medication, with the thing as we get older, is I think it does harm, but I think it causes us to live longer beyond the time that we're ready to live,
ready to go. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And one of the things that I know in California, we have Kaiser, and Kaiser is just developing a palliative medicine model. And one of the things that they're doing is they're creating, honestly, a sacred space for family and the loved one to be together and spend time together. And it's not where it's visitation hours and everything. And then they've got colors and they've even bringing in crystals. They're bringing in a lot of different things and they're creating a sacred space. So in fact, that soul, if it is ready to go, can actually transition before the transition is helped.
Wow.
So we've got a lot of really very loving ways to help in this process.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if someone does need to transition in a hospital or wants to go home, we've got beautiful, wonderful things that are happening in hospice. So I think it is requiring a shift of consciousness.
Wow. Thank you very much.
You are welcome. So, and thank you for the question. Again, certainly one that is very timely. So thank you for that, Sue.
Thanks, Carol. Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. What I want to do is take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back, take more of your calls, and then talk a little bit more about how to balance the tension between the first and the seventh chakra so you don't feel like maybe you're being like Gumby and being pulled apart. So stay tuned. I'm going to be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing. What color is your personality? Red, orange, yellow, or green?
Now at Reitberger.com, Dr. Carol Reitberger, an international leader in the field of personality psychology, brings you everything you need to know about your personality. With Carol's innovative insights and personality assessment, you can finally live the life you desire, create more satisfying relationships, enjoy better health, and much more. So act now. Discover your personality color and find out about the personality colors of the people in your life, all at Reitberger.com. What you learn will change your life forever.
Well, welcome back. If you're just joining me, today is a Conversations with Carol show. And what that means is I am taking your calls and talking about the energy and how that impacts us. And I shared in the first segment that the energy right now, as we end October and we're headed into November, is the tension between the first chakra, that human emotional belonging energy, that survival energy, that human ego energy, and that seventh chakra, and how we've been on this roller coaster ride and we're dropping down into the first chakra and we're all hanging on for our lives and going, OMG, OMG, OMG. However, this OMG is absolutely wonderful because what it's doing is it's stepping down this higher energy into that first chakra, and it's literally changing the way that we see ourselves and the way we see ourselves in our lives, and it's really changing the way that we are going to be living our life in November and December. And the word for November is balance. And so I want to talk a little bit more about that, but also to let you know I am taking your calls, because that's what the today's about. It's the Conversation with Carol show. So if you have a question for me, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S., Canadian, and international callers. Also, I wanted to let you know that the Animal Companion webinar that I did is now available for an on-demand audio download. So if you're interested in hearing what psychic medium and animal communicator Daniel McKinnon and myself talked about in our relationship, spiritual relationship with animals, but also the soul contracts they have with us and how these soul contracts with animals that come into our life are actually a part of our pre-birth agreement. We talk about animals' energy and how they're helping empower women, and then, of course, how they help us in the healing process, and then also talking about what does a healthy animal soul contract look like, or what does an unhealthy animal soul contract look like. So again, if you're interested in hearing more and reading more about what this webinar covered, it's called Animal Companions. Just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then on the homepage in the slides, moving slide bar at the top of the page, just click on Animal Communication. An animal companion. Danielle is an animal communicator on that slide. And then you can read more about the download. And then if you're interested, you can purchase it right online. Click on it, download it immediately to your computer and to be able to, or iPod, iPad, or smart device with MP3, and then be able to listen to all of the wonderful information that Danielle shared with us on this particular webinar. I know that I've got lots of emails from people who attended that said it really changed the way that they looked at their animal. And I even had some people say, wow, this is no longer just a dog or just a cat, that it's literally changed my relationship with them. So again, please check it out on www.ritberger.com. Also, I wanted to tell you, I was just talking as I opened up the show about this energy and this falling, this higher consciousness into our everyday ordinary consciousness. And we have a mediator in between as it's going up. As we've been on this roller coaster going up, we hit that third chakra, personal power, self-confidence, allows us to, in that ascension process, look at what we're trying to change in the first chakra, look at all the options we have. That's part of the third chakra. Spending time weighing those options, that's part of the third chakra. And then moving forward with confidence, part of the third chakra. Moving up to the higher chakra, the seventh chakra, as we're dropping down now in November on the other side of this downfall, of this ascension, stepping this energy down, we go back into that third chakra. We realize that we have a lot more options than we realized before. We realize that we are in control of the changes we can and how we deal with them. Again, third chakra, that we have the personal power and we're empowered to make the changes needed so we can live this higher consciousness in our everyday reality. That's third chakra, that we can tap into that inner part of ourselves that can allow us to let that uniqueness of who we are come forward with confidence, third chakra. Speak our truth, third chakra. Live authentically, third chakra. So we've been climbing up this, climb into this drop. We've dropped down. We just started. It was the 18th of October, dropping down. We're going to hit that third chakra any day now. And what I encourage you to do, because November's about balance, it's about being mindful, present in the moment, that helps us with balance. Then when you find yourself in a place where you're feeling pulled or apart or tension between what you think you should do and what your heart's telling you to do, just take a deep breath, go to your third chakra, and then see yourself as empowered. You might want to come up with an image of what you look like empowered. And then anytime an obstacle or a challenge comes forward, pull up that image, see yourself right there being able to create the balance, change the process in the first chakra, and voila, everything will be easier for you to digest, meaning in the metaphor as a medical intuitive, you will find that you will not be having a lot of stomach tension or digestive issues. Your knees won't be bothering you, your ankles won't be bothering you as much, your feet won't be bothering you as much, you won't find yourself having as much tension in the shoulders. That third chakra is that pivot point in the fulcrum between our lower vibration and our higher. And November is all about allowing yourself to find the balance in your life by spending time in that third chakra. So if I have a chance, I'll talk a little bit more about that. But that's really very, very exciting on the things that we have going on. So I'd like to take Molly, line two. Hi, Molly. Hi, we want to do Molly, line two, from Ann Arbor.
Yes.
Hi there. Hi, sweetie.
Hi. So nice to be received. Thank you, Carol.
You are most welcome. How can I help you?
Well, I have had post-ovulation pain for probably 8 years. I'm 48 years old, and I've seen numerous practitioners without a clear diagnosis other than one doctor pretty much described it as middle schmerz, but I'm a 2 to 3% of folks with middle schmerz that has where the egg gets released out into the peritoneal cavity and I experience symptoms of a ruptured cyst every month. And that there's nothing really you can do short of having a hysterectomy. And I'm not really wanting that. I'm just waiting for menopause. And but I get fearful that it could be a tumor. You know, I lead a pretty healthy lifestyle with diet. Right. And also, I've been wanting, I try to tune in what it is. Sorry, I'm a little nervous.
That's okay, honey.
But I just learned about you through a Regina Meredith interview on Gaia TV. And I'm like, this is the person who could help me in direction. I feel I've been all over the place with it, but I guess my question is, can you see, sometimes I think I'm neglecting it, and my friends get concerned, I should go have ultrasounds and all this, and I did have one maybe 7 years ago that didn't show anything.
Right.
I do a lot of complementary treatment. I tried this Arvigo visceral manipulation massage, but it's this intense pain in about 20 to 40 minute waves right after ovulation for about 3 days, 4 days in the left lower side.
Right.
You know, the doctor said it doesn't matter that it's on the same side all the time.
Right.
That could be. So I loved her explanation because I'm like, bingo, that's what it feels like. Ruptured cyst. It's incredible pain.
Right.
And why? It comes with a boatload of emotion. So why am I going through this? Like, what am I learning from this? And I could use some help.
Okay. Well, we're just gonna take it physical, and then I'll go into the psychological, and then we can look at it from that soul's perspective. So the first thing, as I go in and touch you energetically and start poking around energetically, there is not a tumor, honey.
Thank you.
There may have been at one time a cyst that was very early on, maybe 22, 23 years old on this left ovary. I can still feel the energetics of it when I go in and look at it. The cyst itself felt that it was right there on where the shape of the ovary, that egg shape, and then we've got the fallopian tube coming out. I can actually feel it on the outside, and this is energetic. It's not there. I need you to know this.
Yes.
But what it is, I can feel it, that it was right on that kind of outer bump that goes back in. If you go in, look in anatomy book, and then you see the fallopian tube, it was right there. My sense is that what it did is it actually probably, honestly, caused some damage to that fallopian tube, to the point where maybe there was a lesion or something that allows the egg to, it feels to me, to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And, but when I go in there and look at it now, I'm not seeing a tumor. The ovary itself does not feel like it's enlarged. It doesn't look like it's enlarged. I'm not seeing anything within it. Other than you look like your egg production is dwindling. That's natural because of the age.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not finding any cyst on the outside. But what there's a couple things I am finding is that, first of all, there's nothing there that shows cancer. I shouldn't do that, but I'm going to do that.
I haven't felt to be quote-unquote cancer material. I don't feel that in my sight at all, but I wonder, am I fooling? I second-guess myself. Am I fooling?
Yes. Oh, well, and you would, honey, especially with the intensity of the pain and the way that it comes forward, that would be a natural thing to do. And, you know, your soul just said, well, assure her that it isn't. I don't know why I was encouraged to do that, but I did. So the other thing is that I think we've got another thing that's happening. Have you ever been diagnosed with endometriosis, sweetie?
No, but it's one of the things I've looked at along with fibroids. And the more I hear you talk and others, I wonder if there isn't some endometriosis in there. And if
there is.
It psychically, rather than having it shaved out, but,
Right. I am picking up some endometriosis.
Okay.
And what the endometriosis is, basically, is it's the endometrial lining of the uterus finds its way out of the uterus, and it migrates out of it, and it can attach to the fallopian tubes, the ovaries. Sometimes it'll even attach to the small intestine, the sigmoid, descending colon. So, and what occurs is that post-ovulation, prior to ovulation, when you have that flow of estrogen, those lesions, because they're part of the uterus, tend to engorge with blood. And what they do is they kind of become very, very fat, and that creates tension. It can create a pulling.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you do the post-ovulation, then what it occurs is then you start getting the progesterone that starts to flow. And then what it does is those lesions start to decrease in size, the pull. But there's a period of time for about 36 hours of women who have endometriosis that they can get the cramping, they can get the discomfort. It comes and it goes. It's kind of like a wave when it has to do with estrogen or not, or progesterone or not. So my sense is that we've got the two things going on. And for me touching you is it feels like it's more, what you're experiencing is more inclined to the endometriosis than it is the egg rupturing itself. I do understand what you're saying, but it feels to me that that's what's causing. So here's how it feels to me. It feels like at post-ovulation is that, okay, everything's released, and then it starts to relax, and then it's like these lesions yank down on you, pulling that lower abdomen into that uterine area, like pulling it down and like torquing it is what it feels like. That's part of that intense pain. And then what it does is then it relaxes, the muscle relaxes, and then it comes back and it contracts again. Is that accurate?
Yes, I guess And it reminds me, I can palpate the left lower quadrant down there real deep.
Right.
Kind of a swelling, like a pouch. And that's why sometimes I think it's a tumor, but it's not there at other times. It seems
right.
fluid-filled, and it helps with massage.
Right. And what it would do is, if it is, in fact, endometriosis, those lesions will fill up. And then what you do is, when you actually massage them, what you do is you relax the muscle. You take the tension off of that lesion that is, think of it as a bungee cord, where it gets really, really tight, and then you've got to take the pressure off. So that's what it does. And then what it also does is, it takes that fluid buildup in that area, and it starts to diminish it to the point where it goes away. So we've got some immune system trying to figure out what it is. So that could be some of the swelling. We also have some of that, maybe some buildup in the lymph, or we may even have a little bit of secretion from the endometrial lining. So we've got a combination of things with it.
Yes, my body relaxes. Yes. When I hear you say that, yes, and that does feel more in tune, because the egg's filling out into the peritoneal cavity. I'm like, but what about the right side? The right side doesn't have this. It's just the left. It makes sense what you're saying with the scar tissue maybe, and then the endometrial cells being engorged. And yes, this makes sense.
And it also, you know, if you go back, because I said I picked this up around 22. If you go back and you look at your menses cycle, and you look at the blood flow and the quantity and so forth, my sense is that you've been estrogen dominant for a long time. And I think that, you know, as you go through the change, then what's going to happen is, of course, we're going to get that decrease. You're already experiencing that. But what it's going to do is, I think your body's adjusting. You're not getting that flow of what you need to. You could actually, sweetie, go and talk to a doctor if you wanted to, and get on some medication that could put you into menopause. I don't always recommend that for someone, but that certainly is a conversation you could have with your doctor that forces you into that menopause, and I think that's going to take care of your problem. Now, there's other side effects by all means with that, because it hastens that menopause process very, very quickly. So it's like your body's trying to adjust, and all of a sudden it's like, oh my gosh, what just happened? I don't have anything. And so, but it might be worth at least a conversation, or even if you work with a naturopath, you could talk to someone about that and just kind of get their take, tap into their information, see what the pros and cons are, and you could do something like that.
Yes, thank you. I did just go to a lecture on bioidentical hormones, and I wanted to research pregnenolone, which apparently helps with pain intensity, but no, I will consider that. I guess I like to feel things as natural as possible, and I'm waiting for menopause. I think it could be around the corner at 48, but
Actually it is, sweetie.
Yeah.
Actually, you feel to me that you're already showing enough signs that menopause is maybe 2 years at the most, maybe even a year away. So you are getting very, very close to it. And the egg production itself is decreased, and the eggs themselves aren't as vital as they used to. So that's what lets me know that you're showing a lot of the different signs of what is going on has to do with menopause.
Thank you. This is all a relief and really in tune with what I've been feeling, I guess. And I'm not in the pain at the moment, but when I am, that just emotional intensity that comes with it, and the fear, visceral pain seems to create more pressure than musculoskeletal. I don't know if you can comment on that at all, or what the energetics
the energetics of it. The left ovary, while on the feminine side of the energetics of the body, the left ovary is all about father. But it doesn't have to be that melodramatic. It's about you embracing your masculine energy, that warrior part of you, rethinking what masculine energy looks like, going back to your role models. That's why father usually shows up, and looking at that. The uterus itself, and specifically the endometrial lining, is where we carry self-directed resentment. and where we also carry the elements of shame. And shame could be something as simple as being in school, then, you know, we didn't share, we didn't do something, and a stranger chastised us, and if that stranger happened to be a male chastising us, shame on you for doing that. Then we start to pull back psychologically from that masculine energy. We become confused about what it is. And then what we do is we go through the process of separating ourselves, differentiating actually from who we are with other people. But this is about masculine energy. It's about letting go of that resentment that you may have towards yourself of things that happened in your childhood. That's usually where it's carried, is in the uterus. And then also shame in the endometrial lining. And you could work with someone and you feel very, you know, competent yourself. You can just go in and just do something as simple as just saying, okay, shame be gone. Mm. And then doing some visualization and stuff with that as well.
My goodness. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I think that what that does, sweetie, is I think it brings up, and I can feel, I can hear and feel, it's going to bring up a lot of emotion, because that's what, believe it or not, it's intended to do. It's around your feminine. It's around the masculine. And when those emotions come up, allow yourself to be there. Allow yourself to feel it. Allow yourself to feel the fear. One of the things that you're going to do is the fear of unknown. That's the one, of course, that comes up. It's very obvious. But, sweetie, you're very much in control, and not overly controlling, but very in control. You take a lot of time to think, look at your options, you weigh them very well, so you can take this opportunity when you're, you know, coming out of the pain. And while you're in the pain, this isn't going to work, honestly. But when you're out of it, just say, well, thank you for coming up. You know, I am going to let you go. If it needs to forgive yourself, do some things. Come up with a color. Come up with a song title. Come up with an image and just put it in that uterine area. And then things will energetically shift psychologically very quickly for you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you again.
You are welcome.
Gratitude and a hug to you. Thank you for your work.
Well, and thank you. And, you know, I'm going to email Miss Regina and say, you know, thank you for bringing me on, Gaia. You have a wonderful holiday season, sweetie. And one of the things your body just said to me is that when she gets in pain, ask her to put heat on me and to just hold her right hand over me with that heat, and then visualize it going away at a more rapid pace. And it feels like it will.
Oh, lovely. Thank you, and I have your archive to go back and listen to.
Good.
What a true gift.
Well, thank you, sweetie. Okay, well, light and love to you. Oh, my gosh, does this time go by so quickly and everything. My other callers, my apologies to you that I cannot get to you. I do need to go ahead and start wrapping up my show. Thank you so much for calling me, though. I hope that you'll continue to try to do that. But one of the things I want to close with is that I want to close with the fact that November is all about balance. And so what I ask you to do is on a daily basis to really put time aside for you doing something that you love doing, not that you like doing, not that you have to, but something that you love doing, that you look forward to. And even if it's just 5 minutes, start the process now. Stick with it in November. You're going to find that that 5 minutes could turn into 15 minutes, may even turn into an hour. That is just your time. And when you're doing something you love, it really gives you a chance to step outside of all the demands of what's going on, to step outside of that fear of unknown, to step out of that fear around survival, to step out of a lot of that frenziness of energy that's starting because the holidays are here. The holidays are a lot of time. They're a lot of energy, but more so the holidays bring up a lot of emotions that have been deeply buried within us over the course of the year. And the gift of that is to find that balance in that space, doing something you love, so those emotional charges can come up in a way that you can just allow them to surface, acknowledge them, and then to continue doing what you love. And then the energy hold of those emotions will release, and it will allow you to really freely move this energy forward into that first chakra. One of the things that you can do is visualize energy coming down through your crown, down through the torso of your body, breaking at the first chakra, going down the knees, the feet. See it circulating back up outside of you, coming back down. All of those things are going to help. Well, thank you so much. I love the Conversations with Carol show. I love talking to you. I hope you have a wonderful week. I'll see you next week on the radio. Light and love and good health.
You've been listening to the Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.reiberger.com. See you soon.